just in the everyday, me and you. The Good News and Shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good News and Shoes.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. And now the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
What it says, Pastor Tom was just reading off the script here. Of about don't listen to anything Martech says. Is that what you just said?
Well, that's what it says. It says that in your little.
I just wanted to know if you have met the suitability requirements.
You know what happens, folks? It's an interesting thing. This is Joe Martech, by the way. Vince Rizzino, CPA. Alan, what's your last name?
Love.
I thought it was Dershowitz all this time.
Well, he's got the perfect name.
Love. Anyway, Vince Rizzino, CPA, is here, and Alan is a semi-retired attorney, prosecuting attorney, financial advisor. What else?
Just a good guy, I hope.
Just a good guy, I hope. And he's also a card-carrying Hebrew that's converted to Christianity.
That is correct. And it was in part my conversion to Christianity led me to have the wonderful experience to join Tom for the last 7.5 years on prayer and praise time. So
I'm going to tell you right now, if there's somebody that should be a rabbi, this is the guy. Does he not look like a rabbi?
Well, he could.
You know, if you could be Hasidic, if you just had a few curls.
So then you would be considered a Messianic Jew?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Very much so, because of the fact that I've said it on the air many times when I've been with Tom that I have not repudiated or had to give up my Judaism. I feel more complete as a Jew because it is thrilling in my heart that I have found Jesus Christ in my heart, who happened to be a practicing Jew.
Yes, he did.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, the Last Supper was a Passover Seder.
There you go. There
you joined the ranks of the apostles.
That's right.
Did I ever tell you, I was raised Catholic, as Vince was.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason we were Catholic, my dad was a milkman in Detroit, which means he worked 6 days a week. Now, if you're Catholic, they have holy days where you don't have to go to school. Right? Do you know that? You know
Yes,
that.
I do, because they used to call that early release.
Yeah.
Well, what it amounts to,
we were Catholic for one reason, so I could work on that milk truck.
Oh.
Now, what my dad tried to do, he went down and talked to the local rabbi and said, can I be a Jew and a Catholic? And the rabbi says, it doesn't work that way. He says, well, can't we work so I can get the kid to work on the truck more often? I get more days off.
More holidays.
More holidays.
Oh, my God.
Well, I do love, when you're a kid, my best buddy across the street was Jewish. His dad was Jewish. So we would go to each other's holidays, you know, which, hey, when you're a kid, holiday is a holiday. We get to celebrate more days. This is a good thing.
That's right.
But I did learn that I do not like gefilte fish.
Oh.
I mean, does anybody
What's
really
wrong
eat
with that?
That stuff?
Sure.
Well, you have to acquire a taste for it. I mean,
it's like scotch.
I happen to like it.
I took a look at it, and I'm afraid to open the jar.
I'm telling you, it's scary.
Those of you who like it like me, please raise your hand.
Right. Okay, I'm sitting on my hands big time in case somebody gives me a jar.
And you got to have it with the matzah. You miss out on all the good stuff.
The other side, well, matzahs are great. There's no flavor. Just perfect.
That's it.
I mean, you know, they're nice and good. The thing that we started the show off with, and Tom was picking on me a little bit, because if you are a securities representative, now, folks, let me explain the difference. When you see an ad in the newspaper where they're selling you something that says hey, we're going to pay you 2%, 9%, 15%, whatever it says. And it doesn't have anything on the bottom of it that says securities offered through. It doesn't say anything about SIPC, which is the Securities Insurance Protection Corporation. And it doesn't say anything about FINRA, which is the federal
financial industry.
Financial industry. They changed the name on it, which I never have, which it worked perfectly for years, and I knew it. Anyway, when it doesn't have that on the bottom of it, that means there was nobody regulating or telling them what they could or could not say. So I am very skeptical when I have clients of mine call me and say, Joe, what about this great opportunity? And I said, who is it? I said, well, it's this company. I said, does it say on the bottom of that thing anything to do with securities? And they said, no. And I said, well, here's one of the problems that occurs. And I'm not saying it's not true, but anything that I run in a newspaper, on TV, on the radio, has to go through compliance. And one of the things that happens at the beginning of the show, there has to be a disclaimer that says, remember, Tom, what it said?
Something about suitability requirements.
Suitability requirements, and don't just believe anything I tell you. Go see somebody else. Yeah, I mean, they got all kinds.
It's not a substitute for professional advice.
And I am a professional, but they don't care. The disclaimers are there because FINRA and the SEC require people that are securities licensed to make disclaimers, and we cannot
run. There's a word for all this. It's called accountability.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's a good word.
Is being accountable for what you say and what you do.
You know, that's five syllables. That's a pretty big word for you, Tom. I'm impressed.
I stayed up all night studying.
Anyway, this is the Team Martech Hour. Joe Martech, financial advisor, securities principal, lots of licenses, state licenses, federal licenses, long time in business, lived in Florida since 1976. Thank you, Lord. I am so grateful for that every day. Started doing his radio shows back in around 2004. Don't remember exactly, but we knew when the hurricanes Francis and Jean hit, we were doing radio shows. And the whole concept originally was I had a bunch of clients here and then also in 13 other states, but there's no way in the world I could answer every question that clients would come up with. So in my not too humble opinion, I feel credible professionals align themselves with other credible professionals in order to provide a service to their clients. So immediate members were Greg Fasula, attorney. And let me just pat him on the back a little bit, even though he is a flaming liberal. I'm not allowed to talk politics on this thing, and I would never say this out loud.
I don't think he's flaming, Joe.
You don't think? Okay, he's kind of burnt out now because he's still upset. Anyway,
he's lukewarm now.
He's lukewarm. He says he's moderate. Uh-huh. You should have heard him on the morning show when Dan and I were picking on him. He was not happy. Anyway. Greatest guy in the whole world, probably the only attorney in the world I'd like to have as a next door neighbor. He's just a gentleman. He's a gentle person. He's understanding. He's a good listener. He's patient. He's not arrogant. He's not pretentious. And I've said it 100 times to him. I said, Greg, they teach you that in law school? He goes, no. You know, when you're a good person, and he's a monster believer, as everybody in our group is, that what goes around comes around. If you do the right thing, it comes back to you. And years and years and years ago, we're guessing 20-some years ago, I met Greg. And from that day forward, I said, you know, I don't want to talk to any other attorneys. I'll go through Greg first, and Greg will tell me the truth. Boy, that's a big word, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Truth. I asked Greg a question. He says, Joe, I don't do that. Now, I've seen attorneys that never say that. They said, okay, fine, give me money. Then they go out and learn it so they can charge you for it. And that doesn't mean they know it. But Greg is a specialist in certain areas, and his areas of expertise that I'm mostly concerned about are wills and trust, estate planning.
Okay.
And that's what I needed for my clients. We're going to talk about that in a minute, because Alan, who's a guest on the show today, came up with a question from a friend of his that comes near and dear to your heart and mine, Vince.
What's that?
Well, you're going to hear about it in a second after I remember because I'm on a roll here, and I want to keep my train of thought going. So we get Greg Fasula, then Dan Warren, independent insurance agent. Critical member, because those of you that have lived in Florida since 1992 when Hurricane Andrew hit, which put about 13 insurance companies out of business and devastated half of Dade County, understand that the insurance business changed dramatically. Homeowners insurance, many companies non-renewed. They doubled and tripled rates. Dan, in my opinion, is the premier independent insurance agent on the Treasure Coast. In his bailiwick, underneath bailiwick, that's a word that's not used every day.
How many syllables is that?
That's only three.
Three.
But in his, under his umbrella.
Notice I'm using five syllables. He's only using three syllables.
He's shortchanging you, Pastor.
I was watching you use your fingers to count, though, there. That was good. Dan, 37 years in business, almost 100 companies. And here's another person with extreme integrity. Dan would tell you, if you called him up and wanted a quote, and he'd look at you and say, hey, that company you've got is fine. You should stay right where you are.
Well, that's what he told me. You know, when I had him do a review of my homeowner's insurance, he did that. He ran several comps and told me, look, you know, you got a good rate. You've been with the company. They've done you right.
Stay there. What he said, he will say as a caveat is, hey, look, when the renewal comes, check me with me again, because there's no such thing as longevity guarantees. Remember years ago, Alan, they used to say, hey, you stay with us, we'll stay with you forever. That doesn't mean they won't double, triple, quadruple your rate, which is another thing that you need to do. So shopping in the insurance business is almost it's smart.
And it depends on the type of insurance too, Joe. Like the health insurance. I mean, they told me they were dropping me at the end of the year, my carrier.
Well, that's good.
Because they pulled out of
United Healthcare.
United, Humana.
Thank you, Obama. You know, you can just be careful, you know. But hey, you're getting old soon, though. When do you turn 65?
I'm not telling you that. You're still older than me, Joe.
I hate to be the oldest guy in the room, but I'm pushing it. Alan, how old are you?
70.
This really upsets me. I'm still the... Who do we have out there that's old? We can bring into the room be older than me. It's pretty hard to come by. Anyway, so we started off with Dan Warren, Greg Fasula, Joe Martek, and then over a period of time, we needed a CPA.
You did.
I mean, but here's what happens. Questions, taxes, changes, IRA changes, 401k changes, Roth changes. How about... solo IRA.
Yes.
New wrinkles.
Solo.
It just happens to be wrinkles all the time. And I probably call Vince every week or two, and he'd say, Joe, can't you even ever give me an easy question?
He never gives me anything easy. I don't know. I got to go look it up. I
mean, but a CPA, you've earned those credentials, and you didn't earn them easily. And then Vince also became what's called a forensic CPA. Love that word, forensic, which means he's an expert witness recognized by the court system to testify for or against somebody when it comes to accounting functions. He also was a college professor.
But not at Columbia.
You know, what happens is this, it's important, Alan, you know, at Columbia, it means you're hot stuff. Well, he was.
I was at State University of New York.
I know. I just got to get him a little defensive here. But anyway.
Hey, listen, they're a quality educational system.
I didn't say they weren't. I just said it's not Columbia.
But of course, a little less quality now that I left.
Yeah, well, let's anyway.
But it's about 10 years ago.
And then we added Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart. Why? Well, this real estate debacle that we went through recently became a necessity to have somebody that was with high integrity, that could answer questions for people and help people in real estate, which led us to Mike Paulus, which is the newest member, who's a mortgage broker, who, quite honestly, folks, this mortgage business is really simple. You pick up the phone, you call Mike Paulus. Within 10 or 15 minutes over the phone, he'll tell you the straight skinny. You don't have to make out an application. You don't have to pay any money. You know, you walk into your local bank, might take you 2 or 3 weeks to find out they're going to turn you down or give you a different deal than you thought you got. But with Mike, you know right away.
Also with Mike, Joe, he's not a paper pusher. I mean, he's not an application taker.
No.
He's a businessman. Yeah. He'll sit down, discuss your issues, and give you prudent advice on how to go about getting a mortgage and where to go.
Well, the other side of the coin, and this happens quite often, somebody might call in and say, hey, I want to go buy a home and I want to get a mortgage, and he runs a credit and says, okay, fine, you got some problems. It might take us 3 months or 6 months to cure these problems so you can qualify for a mortgage. And he'll work with you over a period of time to get it done.
I brought him in for a client of mine, and he was very helpful and even kind of helping him on a business level.
There you go.
What to do with the properties he was trying to mortgage.
See? So the concept of the group we're here to help people answer questions. And by the way, you can actually call us.
That's right. We have a phone number.
We have a phone number, and it's on the wall because everybody knows I'm old and I might forget it.
But you don't need glasses yet, Joe.
No, I do. I had laser surgery.
Ah!
1-888-221-8990.
888-221-8990. Joe, we have a question that came in earlier. Do you want to?
Might as well do it.
Discuss that. We had a lady that called in and said she didn't want to get on the air, but she had a question and wanted maybe someone to call her, and I'm sure that, you know, someone will. But she was married, and she and her husband bought a home. The home was in both their names. I don't know how the title was titled, but the home is in both their names. And sadly, they got divorced at some point along the way. And after the divorce, they never made any changes to the title of the home. Well, he has become ill, and she is now, out of the goodness of her heart, taking care of her ex-husband. And she's wondering what might happen should her ex-husband pass away, what would happen with this home. And
I told her she should smile.
Okay.
Because she has a house.
Okay. Well, she's
no,
also
she's concerned about the title.
She has also changed her name to her maiden name.
I don't think it makes any difference. Here's what happens. Now, I'm not an attorney, and I'm not Greg Fasula sitting here, and neither is Vince and Alan. All of us have gone I've gone through this regularly, and Vince, I know you have too. In the state of Florida, if I buy a house with Vince Rizzino, and on it it has my name and his name, and that's all it says is his name and my name, we are partners. I die, my half of that house goes to my estate. Now, if I put on the title Joe Martek and Vince Rizzino, JTWROS, joint tenants with rights of survivorship, I die, it's Vince's house. Vince dies, it's my house. In the state of Florida, if you're a married couple and it designates that on the title, husband and wife, HW, that means the same thing as joint tenants with rights of survivorship. I die, it's automatically my wife's. My wife dies, it's automatically mine.
But what if there's a divorce? They're no longer the one.
The divorce decree does not treat that piece of real estate. And if they never changed the title to that home, same as life insurance. You know, life insurance has beneficiaries. How many times have we seen a couple get divorced and they forgot that there was life insurance? He dies, 20 years later, the new wife waiting for the money doesn't get it. The old wife gets it because he forgot to change the beneficiary.
Right.
Once it's written down, it's in concrete. So without being an attorney, my opinion is it's her house. Now, it has to be careful. She needs to find the deed or the tax roll or go down to the courthouse, whatever county that they
bought. You can even do that online.
You can do it online and find out how the house is titled. Back again, if it just has each of their names and he dies, his half will go to his estate. But if it has the husband and wife documentation, hey, if she goes back and shows a marriage license, even though she's divorced, that's still the way it's titled, and she was married to that guy when they got that house. That's her house, unless the will or the titling has been changed.
Right. That's my understanding.
You know, that's my understanding. Alan?
A good attorney would make sure in the divorce decree that that was absolutely clear. So there shouldn't be any problem, and I think you're absolutely right that it probably is titled where she's going to be able to have the house.
Right. Now, quote, yeah. Good attorney. Alan?
Yeah, I was just
are we
say.
Stretching those words a little bit, putting those two words together?
Remember, he's an attorney.
Oh, well, wait, that's why I forget. You're an attorney.
Would you please do me a favor? We're coming into December tomorrow. It's the Christmas season.
I'd be
please
charitable.
Don't put me on the spot, okay? I'm kidding.
Alan?
Yes.
No, I will put you on the spot. Forget it.
Thank you.
That's a given.
Thank you.
But that's the same sentiments I was having. Yeah. About why didn't the divorce attorney take care of this
well,
when they went
to
the
divorce? Well, and he may have, and it may be in the divorce decree. But here's the situation that should have occurred. Back again to being a good attorney, he would tell the whoever spouse he's representing, go down to the courthouse and take your divorce decree, which is agreed to by both parties, and change the deed to your property.
Right.
If it wasn't done, hey, let's face it. The way it is set today, if there's nobody going to contest it, it's her house the way I see it. Right. Now, back again. Let's say there was a will.
What if she has children? Or he has children.
Well, guess what? Back again, it depends on how the title reads. If, again, it's husband and wife and it's not in the divorce decree, I got to tell you.
But if it doesn't say husband and wife, it just has their names on there, then if he has children, they get half the house.
I would imagine, yes. Under that scenario, yes.
It is my understanding that it either has to say HW in Florida or joint tenant with right of survivorship.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So literally, the concept is there. If it was titled, it's to her benefit. So all she has to do is check that. Now, after she checks it, Alan, I would recommend tremendously that she talk to an attorney.
Don't just assume that it was set up that way.
No.
Check it and make sure.
Find it and check it and make sure. And if the divorce decree, which she should have a copy of, has no reference to the property in that divorce decree, I don't care what his kids say. Then I don't see a problem. Anyway, I'm not a want to play attorney, but Alan, you can play attorney because you are one.
Well, one of the points I want to make is I think a big mistake that people make when it comes to dealing with attorneys is they think they're going to a discount department store. They look for the cheapest fees.
Yep,
maybe that's all they can afford. But most attorneys that I know that who are more expensive, you get more for your money. And I know very few attorneys who are very ethical that won't try and work with you on like long-term payments, things like that.
They're here to help.
You get what you pay for, even in the legal profession.
Yep.
And in the financial profession, it's the same thing.
However, you and I both know, as Ms. Victoria Lloyd Remax of Stewart says, not all realtors are created equal. Point is, some people are more ethical than others. Now, there comes referrals, and ask somebody. You know, one of the reasons I love Greg Fasula, even though he's a Democrat and I'm not, and I love him, he's a good man. I mean, he's a good man. He has integrity. He would never take advantage of anybody. Okay, now that counts thousands of points with me.
Mm-hmm.
To know that when I recommend anybody to go to Greg, I feel very comfortable he's going to do the right thing. I do know, and Alan, I'm sure you do too, and Vince, we know some attorneys personally. I don't like them. I don't respect them. I just don't feel they're doing a job that's in the best interest of the client first, which leads us back into time where you were saying fiduciary or what's in the best interest of a client. What we try to do with this group is constantly what goes around comes around. Let's just do the right thing. Do we do things sometimes to help people and don't charge a nickel? Of course. It's the right thing to do at that time. You know, we're very grateful that we're here. 1-888-221-8990. Now, class, you're supposed to write that number down.
Because if you have a question about things that we're talking about today, you can call and get in on the air.
888-221-8990. Now, Alan, when he came in earlier, he had a situation with a friend or a client.
Right.
And what was the question?
I'll get to that in a second, but I just want to say to everybody that when you're looking for somebody in the financial area, you have a responsibility to do a little checking online. The website is finra.org.
It's very simple.
FINRA. And what you get on that site is, let's say as an example, you want to check out Vince. On that site, it'll give you information about Vince, how to contact.
No, not on FINRA.
You're a CPA.
It does on Joe.
Okay, anybody who's like a money manager,
anybody securities license.
Yeah. But what you get is you get the name of the person, where their office is located, phone numbers.
Who they're associated
with. But most
with.
Importantly, you get information on any disciplinary proceedings.
All the way back to when
all
you were a kid.
All the way back from when you got licensed. And
Even before.
And obviously, if there's somebody that you're checking and has a disciplinary record, you might want to check further.
That's a bit of a flag.
That's a red flag. I mean, really, in our business, or in the financial business, or in the attorney business, there really should be no red flags, because there are too many very ethical financial planners and attorneys and CPAs out there that you should be able to find somebody that has your best interest at heart.
Amen. Now,
yes.
Come up with your question.
Okay.
That you had with
I have a friend, Clayton. Clayton is 75 years old. He is single. He was never married. He had a sister. She was never married. His sister passed. They were living together. And Clayton, at this point, is in good physical health. He's a Christian, has designated in his will a certain money to his church, but he has a portfolio of about $200,000 made up of stocks, bonds, and cash. You know, really the way you should do it for a good structured portfolio.
Right.
His question to me was, at this point, that money that I have in the portfolio, I don't really have any idea of where I want to give the money at this point. Do I want to give it to Tom? Thank you.
I
Tom raised his hand. Are you volunteering,
volunteering
for something?
You're volunteering.
Okay.
Tom said to me earlier, he says, when's this guy going to die?
No, I didn't say that.
Anyway,
I'm going to go in the other room
bad.
Now.
It's so too late. Too late.
You're going to get me in trouble.
His question is at this point, he doesn't really have any real idea of where he wants to leave that money, because he has no kids. His family doesn't need it. You know, he's got a few cousins out there, but they're all fortunately well-to-do financially. And he said, I might want to change my mind periodically, depending on who helps me in my later life, who helps me to take care of me, who gives me the best advice, who makes sure that I get my medical needs taken care of. And so he's wondering, how does he structure something where he can change his mind without having to do a new will every few months or years?
We talked about this earlier, and you really know, Alan really knows the answer to this, and so do you, Vince, so does Joe. We deal with this constantly. Normally, when a person goes to an attorney and does a will and or a trust, that is not the only document that gets done. There's another document called a healthcare surrogate, which means, who am I going to name to be in charge of me in case I'm not able to handle my own health affairs? As an example, I have a stroke, I'm out to lunch, I'm in intensive care. Who can pull the plug? Who cannot pull the plug? Doctors don't necessarily like making decisions for people in fear of lawsuits, so they would prefer to have somebody else make the decision. That's a healthcare surrogate. Next one, which is a critical document, is a power of attorney. Okay, so here's an individual who's 75 years old, and very often old people, resembling this, will name somebody as a power of attorney that's another old person, which can be a mistake. If you can find somebody that's a bit younger, and you did mention a cousin. I heard you say that
yes.
word, cousin.
Yes.
Well, you know, in the pecking order of life, if you die without a will intestate, they're going to look for a blood relative that will inherit the money. And there's a pecking order that goes, if he has no siblings, it would go down and as blood relatives go. But in the meantime, if he named as a beneficiary or a power of attorney or a healthcare surrogate, this person, that would give them authority. Next question was, what if all of a sudden he has this stroke and he needs a assistant, somebody to help take care of him? He could put that into the will, that a portion of the money would be allocated to somebody to be named by the power of attorney or the healthcare surrogate at that time to be a healthcare provider. All of this is back to legalese, and I'm not going to write it, and you're not either, Vince, but this is where you go to an attorney and they draft it properly. Right. Life is simple when you drop dead, but if we don't drop dead and we linger, we cost money and take somebody's time. So they need to be compensated one way or another.
But we still haven't addressed the issue of changing his mind on beneficiaries of these charities.
Well, is a last will and testament actually the last will and testament?
Yes, it is.
Because you can change it.
Well, here, then it becomes the next last one.
Well, that's my point.
There's always a last
one. Is you can, if you have a last will and testament and you say, I want to leave everything to my brother Joe, then
you change your mind.
You change your mind and want to leave it now to Vince.
But here's what his friend is saying.
You can do that at any time, as long as you're living.
I don't want to go to an attorney every 3 months as I change my mind.
Right.
How do I draft this thing properly? And this can be done. You know, and back again.
But then who's making the decisions on the charity?
Would a trust come into this?
Who's making the decision?
You can do it with a trust, a power of attorney. You got lots of different vehicles, and it really depends. And again, I'm not going to sit here and play attorney and tell you what to do. But when an attorney, a competent attorney, talks to this person one-on-one and finds out what their desires are, what their goals are, and gives them the proper advice, then he drafts the documents in such a way to protect that person and the beneficiaries. It's a win-win situation.
But somebody's got to make a decision, Joe, as to where the money goes after he passes.
Well, that becomes
if he's unsure about what to do, then it's going to go to the last will.
No, but here's here's back again to phraseology. So I leave $200,000. $100,000 goes to WCNO. The other $100,000 is kept in escrow or in an account for a health care provider. In the event I don't use that health care.
But then he's designated, so it's no question. He's leaving some to WCNO and the rest of the health care advisor, so there's no issue there.
But at the next sentence says, in the event I don't need a health care provider, that money would go to Joe Martek. Okay, forget that part.
No. I just think that there's got to be flexibility in the agreement, but I don't think that you can build it into a normal will or trust.
If you do,
unless you're definitive and you change it.
Definitely you can in a trust, because you can name a successor trustee.
But that's permanent once it's there. Now, unless you change
it. No, it's not.
In a trust, you don't have to go to an attorney.
No, it's not. Once you name in a trust and you give the trustee authority to do anything they want.
Well, that's the point, Joe. If you're giving the trustee the authority, then you don't have it anymore.
No, but after you're incapacitated, the answer is yes, you are until that point.
But what if he just dies?
Okay, then the trustee does what it says.
Well, then the trustee makes those decisions.
Well, okay.
That's what the point was. How does he make sure the money goes to where he wants it to go if he's going to change his mind every other month?
Well, okay.
Well, you can't change the mind.
You can't change your mind that frequently.
Well, you can, but now you have to go do an amendment. But if you have a trustee or that you give authorities to within limits, but you could say $100,000 goes to CNO, another $100,000 is now held in this trust for the benefit of me, for a health care provider. And in the event I don't need that health care provider, it goes to Vince Rosino, because I can't have it.
Well, but then he's... but then he's designated. Then the issue is moot, because we're talking about the situation where you don't know what to do with the remainder. He's allocated.
But
a
I
piece
just said that's
him.
How you do it. But you just name
what,
it.
What if he wants to leave the rest? If there is no health care surrogate, he wants to leave the rest to charity.
Well, that's what I just said. You just
then
name
how do you
it.
Know you which charity you're going to give it to?
You leave it to the trustee.
Well, then that's what my point. So the trustee then has the authority to do it.
There you go.
Not him. So he loses the ability
but
to put it where he wants to
dead.
Do it. But. That's but
now he's already made the decision to trust the authority.
That's right. But
and the
until the day
the
he
trustee.
Dies or is incompetent, he can change yeah. that.
So the bottom line really is he has control of his money until one of those two scenarios take place.
Exactly.
Either he becomes incompetent
exactly.
or he yeah. dies.
Exactly.
And in those two scenarios, the wisest thing to do is to have a designated power of attorney or trustee.
Period.
That
period.
Makes sense. But then, and then you're giving up that decision making to that trustee,
but
and you're out.
You're not going to
be. Anyway.
You're not going to be competent to make that decision anyway.
You don't give it up until you're either incompetent or dead.
Best way to do it is if you really know the charities you want is to designate them right
ahead
in your will,
and you can still change your mind.
Right.
Yeah. Until the day you're quote one of those two.
Right. Exactly.
Or let's see. Can I get permanently maimed? No, that doesn't count.
Permanently made.
1-888-221-8990. Come on, folks. Now you can call. We can take a phone call. We got Vince Rosino, yep. CPA.
Yes.
We got.
Do we want to talk about the
Alan
the
Lovett,
potentials?
Attorney sitting here?
Yeah.
We got Pastor Tom sitting here. We got Joe Martin.
Even though he doesn't, he would rather not be sitting here because you pick on him all the time.
I would never pick on. Well, that's not true either, is it? I've got to be careful here. Point I'm trying to say is, folks, we're here to help answer any questions. That was a good scenario. We had a good scenario on another question. I've had two or three instances recently that were to do with life insurance, which doesn't happen every day. But I talk about life insurance every once in a while. And I'm a big believer in term insurance rather than in what they call whole life insurance.
Well, let me ask you, that's a good question. I know a fella, he bought term insurance probably 30 years ago.
Okay.
And that's coming to an end.
Right.
And his children are gone, things have changed in his life. But he's going to need insurance going forward.
Why?
Your final expenses.
Well, how much is final expenses? Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't need, maybe 30 years ago, he may have had $1 million worth of coverage to take his children through school and take care of his wife and all of that. But at the end of his life, he still wants to make sure his wife is taken care of. He may have,
Here comes a scenario, and this I go through all the time. Like this week, just to stay in that thought.
Okay.
I had a guy 40 years old, and he's got a child and a wife. And I said, okay, you're going to put your child through college in case you die, and you're going to leave your wife some money. That's what we have to be concerned about. Now, you're 40 years old. If you do 30-year term, you're now 70. By the time you're 70, she's also not so young either, and your kids are grown and gone. And if you haven't saved $5.75 by then, you're both poor anyway. What I'm trying to say is, what is the quality of life? Once you're on Social Security...
But if he were to precede his wife in death, he'd want to leave money to maybe take care of her for an illness or, whatever.
Well, let's go into that. Once you're over 65, you're on Medicare or a supplement and or HMO, PPO. Normally, the cost under the system once you're an old person are not that bad. You're not going to take much
money.
But
you do have to have some money.
Yes. His point is that you need something to generate income.
And my question, Joe, is that, when you're 40 years old or 35 years old, you can get $1 million of coverage on a term policy for $35, $40 a month.
Go ahead.
But now you're 65 years old. That policy has come to an end. How does one determine, number one, how much coverage they need at that point, and number two, whether or not it's even affordable?
That's a problem.
Well, no, I can tell you what I think on that scenario. Number one, term insurance is great, but as you point out, when the term is up, it's done.
And
try to get term insurance at that point at 65 years old and see how expensive that becomes. I think what you need is a mixed portfolio of both whole life and term, and that for your reason. You can always cancel out on that whole life policy. If it comes to age 65 and you're multimillionaires and you don't really need that insurance, you can cancel it. But what happens if all you have is Social Security and you're on Medicare, and that's not enough to provide you with an adequate standard of living? You need something going to produce income for you. That's where the whole life policy would come in, because then at least it would extend beyond the 65-year point or whatever that term is. And then when the person dies, at least the spouse has the income.
Here's the magic quotient. Let's just use almost an example we're used to. I got $30 a month or $150 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm 40 years old or 45, and I'm going to pay for life insurance to protect my family in case I die in the next 30 years. But if I keep paying at this $130 or $140 or $150 a month, if I have discipline and I had saved some of that money,
if I have discipline. Who has discipline?
Well,
a 40-year-old today?
If you have the discipline to put it into a life insurance contract, but here comes the next scenario. Let's say
the difference and put it into term. I've heard that story before.
No, but go with this one. I do $140 a month, and I put it into this whole life policy for 5 years, and then I can't afford it anymore.
Not necessarily.
It can happen, Vince.
Of course it can happen. But you lose your job.
What I'm trying to say is,
a lot of stuff can happen, and what you have to look is at the total picture, what the goal is, and I think what you're saying, and both you and Tom are both saying, you look at individual people. Every individual is different.
Right.
And you have to look at the long-term goal. What are we going to end up with? What if he's making pretty good money and his Social Security benefit's going to be $2,500 a month?
Well, what if he's living off five, Joe, and he does $2,500 is not enough?
Let me give you the next scenario.
It's called downsizing.
If you
can always do that.
Have you ever heard of
but
that?
Well, wait a minute, though. Well, again, it gets back to the individual and what they want to provide for their spouse.
Okay.
If you want to give them minimum and you want to downsize, fine, and that's a decision you make up front. You don't buy any insurance. Well, but if you want to do something else,
no, but you got to put more into the equation. What am I earning today? If I'm not earning $100,000 or $200,000 a year, the standard of living is
You have a lot of people, you know, being in the ministry. I've met men who have been in the ministry for 35, 40 years, and they pastored a church. They barely got a salary for the last 30 years.
Right.
They didn't have any money to buy insurance with. They didn't have any money to put into a 401k. Just paid their bills and put groceries on the table and got a new pair of shoes every now and then.
Well, for those people, then they wouldn't need any insurance beyond the term, right?
Well,
what we're saying is
they come to the end of their life, and they don't have a retirement account. They don't have anything other than maybe their
need
Social Security.
To supplement income.
They're going to need something to purchase some type of insurance or something to take care of whatever needs are there at the end of their life, and they may find themselves facing a situation they just can't afford
of course
the insurance because of their age pre-existing health conditions.
I've got a solution.
Yeah.
Yeah, move in with the kids.
Well, that's
what you point out here is that every circumstance is different.
There you go.
And not everything fits in every circumstance.
This is part of the reason why folks are struggling with the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, why we're concerned about how long people can, you know, receive Medicare or Medicaid and all of these things. Because we have a population of people, you know, my age, the baby boomers, that are growing older, and they're using a lot of resources. You know, I recently had 2 heart attacks. I had a quadruple bypass surgery. And if I were to go out right now and try to buy health insurance,
forget it.
It ain't going to happen.
Not going to happen. Point I was trying to say, though, is this. You have to look at each individual person. If somebody is living paycheck to paycheck today, husband and wife, they're just getting by, we're not going to look at $1 million worth of life insurance. We're going to look at enough to cover for a couple of years, maybe, if he dies, and for a period of time.
And to take care of those final expenses.
Take care of final expenses, whatever they might be. Now, I got a buddy down the street that owns a funeral home. He's promised to fry me for $700.
Nice.
But I've got to die before him.
Fried or grilled?
Well, either way. And I get...
That burns me up, Joe.
and my ashes are not put in a fancy anything. They're putting into a cardboard box.
Oh, boy, really?
But, hey, look at that.
It's not even a pine box.
Does it say bananas on the side?
What I'm trying to say, we don't need a $10,000 or $20,000 funeral either. The key is this. It depends on what you want, and now you've got to prepare for it.
Right.
And what you can afford to prepare for.
Right.
You know, we talked about this on the program quite often, and Alan and I don't always agree on this subject, but I look at young people saving for retirement before they've had children, before they bought a house, and all of a sudden they take their retirement account and cash it in, pay a penalty plus the tax because they didn't put the cart and the horse in a proper order. When you take a young couple... Getting married is step one. Buying a house should be step two. Step three is to have children. Okay, the cart and the horse don't always go in the same order. Sometimes the child comes first, then the marriage, then the house.
Right.
But before you start planning on saving money for old age, you need to get the necessities taken care of. And I'm not talking about a 60-inch color TV. I'm talking about realities. Now, many people don't face reality.
Well, you're talking about general financial planning.
General financial planning.
We were talking about insurance and life insurance.
General financial planning should flow together with life insurance. Because
it's a part of the plan.
Of course it is.
But for me, if I had, I recommend to a client, if they had the discipline, I'd rather put the money, the excess you're paying for that whole life,
of course,
put it into a 401k plan or something like that. You're probably better off.
A retirement account.
You know, another
thing. Or a retirement account.
Yeah, any kind of retirement.
Another thing that has happened over the years is, you know, my father-in-law worked for GE. He worked for him for a number of years. He retired, had a very nice retirement package. Had health, he had
everything. Yeah,
everything. I mean, he had the whole ball of wax that everybody would love to have come to at the time that you retire. people today don't stay in jobs for 40 years because companies don't stay in business. They are either they're moving them out of the country.
And a lot they're getting bought out. They're getting merged.
You know,
a lot of companies are not offering
and they lose their benefits
anymore.
And stuff.
I mean, you know, it's more of a competitive world.
It's incumbent upon the individual
to provide for themselves.
Absolutely.
I agree
with you. Here comes discipline. Now, not everybody going to do it? No. But I have seen people waste a lot of money thinking that they're going to get the roses are going to keep coming up the way they're supposed to. Look, we just went through a major recession. How many people lost their houses? How many people lost their jobs? Lost all kinds of stuff. How many people had to cash in their retirement plans and pay a penalty plus the tax?
Right.
It's certain things you cannot control. You do the best you can. The key that I look at is if it's something affordable where you can protect. Like, I'm looking at a guy 40 years old with a 10-year-old child. Okay, this child needs to go to college, and dad needs to pay for it. Okay, well, how much does he need? $100,000 might be enough.
They go to a state school or something? Yeah, could be enough.
To afford a college education for that child. What about his wife? He doesn't care about his wife. He cares about his son. The goal is the child. Okay, if the goal is the child and the mother, maybe that's not enough. Can he afford it? Next question.
Mm-hmm.
The whole is
a balancing act.
It's a balancing
act. What do you want to give up today for something tomorrow? Can you afford to give it up?
Can you afford to give it up?
Yeah.
And that's it.
And we have a phone number if you have questions. You can call today.
Do we know
toll
that phone number?
888.
Joe, how's your laser surgery doing?
8990.
I got Pastor Tom. He's got it memorized. I'm impressed.
Yeah, well, I've been here 20-something years.
You should know it by now. If he doesn't know that, we're all in trouble.
888-221-8990. 888-221-8990.
And you've only got a few minutes left today to call.
How much time do we have?
We've got about 10 minutes.
About 10, 11 minutes.
Okay.
Look at this. They're coming in fast and furious. Now
they're ringing like crazy. We just need to get somebody who knows how to answer the phone because that's not one of my strengths.
You know, we were talking earlier also about fiduciaries. It's very important to have a very good life insurance agent.
We got a call. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Okay. Hi, Joe. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
I was just listening to what you guys were saying about, I guess, the recession and saving for college.
Yes.
And so my question would be is why do so many households, you know, you were talking about does the father have enough money for the son? Where is there going to be some self-responsibility and the kids in today's generation to pay for their own education and get a part-time job and work?
You know, I'm sure glad you brought that up. I am so glad you brought that up. I've got a very liberal attorney that the only thing he agrees with me on is he put himself through school. He paid his own way all the way, didn't get a dime from anybody. He borrowed and he became an attorney all on his own. And I think what you're saying is exactly how I feel. It's a wonderful gift if we can pay for the education for a child. But I also know this same attorney's son has a grade point average of 4.6 because he does everything in his power to be the best student in the whole world. And dad can afford to help him with college.
Joe, caller, sure. This is Vince Razzino. The other thing is, I believe, as Joe does, that the child makes an investment in their own future by paying for either all of it or some of it.
Exactly.
Working. We did that with my own children. We didn't pay 100%
of their
college.
Vince, your father paid for your college, right?
No, he did not.
That's my point.
But I think
Alan,
if they make the investment.
Did your parents pay for your college?
No, they did not.
My point is that I think we can responsibly assist our children. I have a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old. And what we've done from the day that we're born is put an investment plan where whether it's $50 a month that you're putting away, it'll accrue a certain amount of value. And that's my contribution. The rest, I think, has to be on himself, as I did to pay for my school, whether it's a part-time job, learn, to multitask, to do several things. And I think that we're putting the burden on too many of the parents.
Yeah, and the other thing is, once they're paying for their own caller, then they're also might pay attention to what they're doing there. They might actually go to class, actually do the work they're supposed to be doing.
Have you ever noticed that something
and maybe don't need a safe room or
something that's free has no value?
You mean they're not going to let them pet ponies at college?
There'd be no therapy dogs.
Yeah, I'm just trying to say, you know, I saw a thing that was so funny about people were complaining about this last election, and they were saying, here's these kids living in the basement of their parents' house, and they're crawling out to go demonstrate and talking on their iPhones. where in the world did they get the money for the iPhone? But the point is, and I think what you're saying is that responsibility, I think, unfortunately, a lot of parents are not teaching their kids responsibility. Back in our day, there was no such word as allowance. You worked. Back then, you could have kids working when we were 7 or 8 or 10 years old, whatever. We might have gotten $1 to mow the lawn or something like that, but, you know, we made money. Anyway, we got another caller. Thank you so much. You did a. We really appreciate that.
Thank you for the call, caller.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Put the next one through.
We should have. We got it. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hi. My name's Michelle, and I've been listening, and I have a quick question.
Go ahead.
As far as life insurance. Okay. I have life insurance now through my job.
Okay.
But the way it works is if I leave my job, then I have no life insurance.
Correct.
And I'm wondering if I should get additional life insurance just to at least cover my expenses for funeral and things like that. I don't have a husband or kids, so it would just be so my family can take care of that.
It's not a bad idea, but one of the things you might be, I would also, is go back to your employer or whoever is handling the life insurance and see if they have a guaranteed insurability rider on that contract. So in case you do quit, that you can buy insurance, because as we don't get younger, cost of insurance keeps going up. If that's not such a way, now I hate to ask you this question, but I can't see you and you can't see me, so you can get away with telling me the truth. How old are you now?
I'm 46.
Okay, you sound younger. However, now that you're...
That's great.
I know. Now, health...
They tell me I look younger, too.
Good news. Now... Are you married? No, you said you're not. Okay. Wait a minute.
No,
skip that part. Let's go back into the insurance. So now what we're going to talk about, if you're 46 and you're not obese, 1, 2, if you're not on many prescription drugs, and 3, your health condition is pretty good, life insurance is not very expensive. And especially, let's talk about term insurance, maybe $50,000 at this point might cost you less than $10 a month.
Okay.
So it can be very inexpensive if you want to talk about 30 years worth of life insurance at 46, if you're in good health, won't cost much. The easy way to do this, if you want, I do this all the time for people. I check every company there is. We run the quotes. We find out what it costs. We plug in the information, which is your date of birth, your height, weight, and health condition. And they come back with 7 or 8 or 10 of the companies that have the best rates and say, here's what it costs, and this is how you pay. And you say yes, no, or maybe. None of that costs you a nickel.
Okay. That sounds good.
So what I'll do is, I've got your name and number. I'll have us give you a call. If we don't make it this week, we'll make it next week. I'll get the information, and we'll find out what it costs you.
Well, awesome. Thank you so much for the information. Very useful.
Very good. Thanks, Michelle, for calling.
All right. God bless you all.
Thank you.
Same to you, caller.
1-888-221-8990. How much time we got, Tom? 5 minutes. He's got these cards. You know, he's really good with those
cards. He's good with the cards. He definitely is.
I use them for people that may have difficulty knowing where they're at.
I'm sitting with you, Tom.
But Tom, you may not be watching the clock.
You're assuming everybody knows how to read.
That's another problem. Oh, upside down. Wait a minute, I got to stand on my head here for a second. 1-888-221-8990. Now, that was an interesting call from her. She's got health insurance. She's got life insurance through her work. But what happens if she gets let go,
what if she doesn't qualify for insurance? Then what?
Well, you know, there are insurance companies. They put these ads out from time to time. You know, you don't need a health check. You don't need this, that, and the other. For people that are elderly that are trying to get some kind of coverage, what might one need to be concerned about and watch
one of the things,
so they don't get in trouble at that point, because there may be limitations on the coverage for the first year or two or something.
Most of them have a 2-year exclusion. If you happen to die during the 2 years, they just give you your money back, which it does you a lot of good when you're in a casket. However, you get your money back. So a lot of people, and these premiums are not low, because let's face it, they know the people that are going to get this are people that are not in the best condition, or they wouldn't be even applying for it. So I had that just happen recently with a fellow that's 66 years old, and he actually went on Social Security now so he can pay the premiums for life insurance, but they're looking at $100,000 over a period of time, and they're going to save the difference. Now, he's going to pay a bit more for the life insurance because he's got some health conditions, but he's not uninsurable, and he's not doesn't need to get what I call high-risk insurance. Right. And his wife had checked the high-risk stuff and was just tickled the fact that we can probably get him a much, much lower rate. Anyway, the way to find out is all I do is we shop every company there is. We get all the best companies that are highly rated and have them come up with the prices. I'll give show them all to you. And if it works, it works. And what I like about the insurance industry today, there's no deposit. There's no binding application. They do the health check. They might do a paramedic. They might do an actual doctor's check. They do everything. None of that costs you a nickel. Then they come back and say, okay, here's your policy. If you want it, now pay for it. You don't have to take it if you don't want it. I mean, that's the industry today, which is really a lot better. Remember, Alan, years ago, they had to write an application, had to make a deposit and pay all kinds of money, and you might get it back, but now nothing, no money, which I love that concept.
Yeah. Now, is there any provision with term insurance to extend it at the end of the...
Most of them allow you to buy, continue to pay, but the premiums obviously are extremely high at that point, extremely high. So the question becomes, if you use estate planning for people, a lot of money, we use whole life insurance because they're going to have to pay estate taxes. Now we got somebody leaving over $5 million, different ballgame.
Right.
But the average person, 50, 100, 200, even $1 million worth of life insurance is there to protect in case you die before you're supposed to, just so your family's taken care of. Each individual person has to be looked at and figured. Like this lady that called in, Michelle, we're going to look and say, hey, what happens to her when she loses her job? If she had $50,000 worth of life insurance, she can have a nice funeral, take care of final expenses, pay off bills, and that might be the right number. Well, we're just about out of time.
We are.
Time's flashing 30 seconds at me.
Well, not quite yet. You got a few
more
seconds.
You're not flashing it yet?
Not yet. I'm just getting it ready.
You can call this number anytime during the week, 1-888-221-8990. Again, 888-221-8990. Pastor Tom or Karen will take your name and number and have us call you back, and we're here to help people. I think now we're down to 30 seconds.
Or less.
Or less.
Alan, you got words of wisdom for the rest of us?
Just want to thank you for letting me be a part of your show today. It was a pleasure, and look forward to next week.
My man, Alan, that's the right thing to say. Vince?
Well, you know, I could say not really pearls of wisdom, but God bless you.
Thank you, everybody. Until next week.
You've been listening to the Team MarTech program. The Team MarTech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF MarTech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team MarTech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team MarTech is available at 772-678-7725.